The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Follow at SW Commonwealth on Twitter and take your first steps into a larger world. Welcome, everybody, to episode 4 of the TSW Roundtable. I will be your moderator, Robert Cast, and it is my pleasure to be on the Talk Star Wars podcast. This week is going to be a little bit strange, and I'll explain after I introduce our co-hosts and our guests, and we'll take it from there. But first, a familiar voice to any Talk Star Wars listener. I'm waiting for the speeder bike in the background from the forest moon of Endor. I need to introduce Rob Wade.
Hello.
Hello, Rob. Welcome back. You were the first returnee on the roundtable.
Oh, marvelous.
Yes.
I like being the records, the trendsetter. I like it. Yeah.
Is it your pension for being on podcasts, maybe, or just your love of...
Crippling neuroticism stroke narcissism, equally balancing themselves out at any given time, yeah.
Fantastic. And I have to introduce Dan Solo. Do you want to say hi to everybody, Dan?
Greetings, exalted ones. Really honored to be on the show. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Oh,
thanks for coming on, Dan. It's nice to put a face to the voice and the online presence that you represent.
Yes. Dan is no stranger to, if you're listening to this show, there's a good chance you'll listen to Talk Star Wars. You'll see a lot of his questions featured on that show. Mm. If you're a VIP, you'll see lots of chatter in the groups, and it's awesome to have these faces to the names, eh, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if they're sick of my stupid face, then they can also see others in the VIP group. It's always nice.
Well, and also, too, there might be a little getting tired of myself. I know I have a monthly show, but I've been able to cram my way onto quite a few extras lately.
I think it's a bit different when you're doing us a favor. I think that's a little bit different to if you were to just invite yourself onto every single episode.
No, this is my grand plan all along. I wanted the Canadian Rebellion.
Oh, clever boy.
Yeah, so here we are, TSW Roundtable. I should explain something real fast. You're probably thinking, wait a second, I've heard a couple of these episodes and there were a few more people. It just seems like there's a couple empty chairs around the roundtable. It's like the triangle table today. I should explain. In the UK, you guys just turned your clocks forward again last night. Did you not?
We did, Rob, and I tried to warn you about this.
I know. But this is the roundtable. This is the peek behind the curtain. This is where we give the listeners to say, hey, it's like After Dark Side. There is a lot of peeking behind that curtain.
This is clean, as I recall.
Yes, this is a PG show. this is one of the podcasts I do that my daughter can listen to, which is nice. Mm.
Yeah, I think as long as you don't have Steve, he tends to be the one who accidentally F-bombs the most.
You should clarify, Naked Steve from Talk Star Wars.
Sorry, yes, Naked Steve from Talk Star Wars rather than Steve from Journals of the Willing.
Yes.
Yeah, Naked Steve tends to be the guy who accidentally F-bombs.
Yes.
I do it deliberately because I like to be able to switch it on and off. So when we hit After Dark Side, I just thank goodness for that.
See, you even self-edit. That's
when you've had to edit yourself enough times for various different things, then you just learn. It just becomes second nature, kind of PG up.
Yes, exactly. He said we put on, well, that was my hope with doing, aside from my weekly Roman podcast show. Rob, you're an avid listener. You are a UK correspondent. You know, we tend to go a little off the rails. I know crazy train is your thing, but we...
The crazy train never touches the rails, so I think it's okay.
Okay.
You know, we've established very early on that is a rambling shambles of a podcast, and that seems to be popular with enough people, so
it is.
It'll be okay.
It is. All right, so now that Rob and I are done massaging each other and...
Oh,
disgusted Sulu?
No, a normal one.
Oh, normal one. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. You'll know when I'm disgusted. It'll be quite markedly different.
Anybody listen to the recent Talk Star Wars After Dark Side? You recognize that bit. Outstanding. Okay, so what we do here is we grab a question from the VIP, and then we pass it around the table. I know it's a small table today, but we'll try to handle it nevertheless. So, Dan, what is your question for the roundtable?
So I've managed to think of something again. My question is around what are people's takes? Obviously, we've only got two people here, but what are your takes on the balance of the Force? So is it to eradicate the dark side, which is what Yoda and Mace seem to believe in the prequels, or is it a balance of dark and light? So would you need to reduce both of them to zero to get rid of the dark side? Maybe that's something that Luke has now learned, hence the Last Jedi. Maybe he realizes that, you know, we're going to have to reduce both these to zero and go on without the dark side or the light to have real balance in the Force. It's always been a strange one for me because, you know, balance doesn't seem to be eradicating the dark side. But I'm interested to know what you think.
All right, Rob Wade.
Mm. So I'm kind of with you on that, Dan. I think I've always kind of, even as far back as when Episode 3 kind of, maybe not when it first came out, but by the time it was out on DVD and I could watch it at home and watch it at my leisure numerous times, which I proceeded to do, I have always kind of I've never taken the balance of the Force to be light side wins, dark side loses, because that doesn't feel like balance. If you've read the novel version of Revenge of the Sith, which are kind of considered canon unless they specifically tread over something that's covered in the film, in which case they're considered secondary. But towards the end of that, Yoda and Obi-Wan have a much longer conversation when they arrive on Podos Massa about the prophecy and how they've and where they went wrong. And Yoda almost seems like he's actually kind of clocked onto the fact that he got that wrong really early and, you know, really quickly after Anakin turns, and he kind of sees it as, you know, we thought the balance would be to eradicate the dark side, but that, you know, of course, that's not necessarily what it could be. We were sort of thinking about it from too narrow a focus. I can't remember the exact wording of it because it was a while since I listened to it, but I've always kind of thought of it as, you know, the Sith had been, at the time of the prequel starting, the Sith had been gone for 1,000 years, let's say. I can't remember if there's an exact figure mentioned. It's probably in Episode 1 somewhere. And they talk about how it's been, you know, the Sith has been gone for some time and the Chosen One is meant to bring balance to the Force. Now, at that point, if they're convinced that the Sith is fully gone, because they've got no reason to suggest, until Maul turns up, they've got no reason to think otherwise. If that's the case, then the prophecy wouldn't make sense to them. So I don't know why they would even consider following it in any reasonable direction.
It's been a severe imbalance for that whole time, hasn't there?
Exactly. You know, and they don't take it as a point of view of maybe there are too many of us and we're too numerous and a bit bloated. And, you know, we've talked about on the show how they've become almost like, you know, galactic policemen. They've not so much abandoned their ways of sort of reflection and meditation and servants of the Force, but they've kind of become bureaucratic tools, not tools in the utility sense, rather than, you know, although there's probably a few in there who like a bit of paperwork. So I think that maybe the balance of the Force is that kind of, you know, they've become too bloated, they've become unwieldy. There's too many of them. The powers kind of spread quite thin. So I wonder if maybe the balance is designed to, you know, correct the sway one way or the other. So, you know, and I suppose how far it unbalances could determine how quickly it needs to be rebalanced, if that makes sense. So, you know, maybe the Jedi were gradually creeping too far in one direction, whereas the Sith went from 0 to 60 in really quick time. So that needs to be balanced again in, you know, 22 years between the prequels and Return of the Jedi. So that has to be addressed very quickly. And obviously we know eventually that Anakin does balance the Force by destroying Palpatine and himself and ridding the galaxy of the dark side. But I really do think that the title of The Last Jedi is very much a reflection of if Force users go forwards, they're going to call themselves something they're going to look at it from a slightly different point of view, which is why you see in that at the beginning of episode 7 in the novel, but it's sort of reproduced everywhere, and this is considered kind of canon. It's from the Journal of the Wills, and it's about sort of embracing the gray with refined Jedi sight. So it's using, to my mind, that's using the experience that they've learned over the course of the prequels and of the Galactic Civil War and the time ensuing afterwards to kind of reflect on the Force and what it means to be a Jedi, and what have they gone, you know, has the Jedi code gone too far in one direction? Does it need to be brought back to the kind of more into the gray? Because there is a big, you know, if you sort of take Jedi and Sith as the two poles, two extremes at the end of the spectrum, then there's a big space to play in between. And actually most people, it's true of anything, you know, you got your kind of, even Star Wars fandom, you've got your hardcore fans and your hardcore haters, and you've got this big space to play in between, where people are a mix of quite like it to really like it to not, you know, maybe they're collectors and so on, but you know, everything's got its poles at either end, and then there's this big space to play in the middle, which is where most people sit. Well, so maybe that's the, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to mention there, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the like when there was Vader and Palpatine and then mm-hmm. Yoda and Obi-Wan floating around the galaxy, okay, now I'm just talking original, the original six saga, because mm-hmm. once we start getting into Rebels and the Mendu and the Light and Clone Wars and the Grey, that's a whole other thread we're not going to pull just yet. But if we're looking at the original six movies, balance had when there was Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Palpatine and Vader. Like, you could legitimately say, like, Anakin being the chosen one, slaughtering all those younglings, for better or worse, and Order 66 actually brought balance to the Force, if you're talking sheer numbers.
Yeah.
Now, again, now we know, yes, there's Ezra and there's Kanan and there's, you mean, Inquisitors. And there's all this other stuff that were at the time. And you can actually say that Vader killing Palpatine, you mean, or Darth Sidious at the end of mm-hmm. Jedi, spoilers, the and then leaving Luke by himself, now the Force is unbalanced again.
Mm. Yeah. And, it's true, you know.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the events preceding The Force Awakens are another attempt to kind of correct that balance, because, you know, you've got Luke trying to raise the next generation of Jedi.
Yeah.
And then it's all kind of taken away from him, and the dark side kind of rises back up and Luke goes off into exile. So maybe that's another balancing act, you know, in the Force, because we're kind of getting the impression that the Force is a little bit more sentient than we've been led to understand in previous saga movies. You know, we're getting the sense that there's a certain, you know, the will of the Force is much more potent than we've been kind of led to understand in the previous saga movies and the sort of connected materials.
Right. Let me throw it back. Let me pose this to Dan. Okay, do you, considering the balance and having everything, the Force, do you think the Force has everything predetermined, or do you think maybe it's suggestive or pushes people towards something to keep a balance?
Well, Chirrut says in Rogue One, everything is as the Force wills it. So the Force is mysterious and ever changing, and it seems to me as though you know, just as time develops, it suddenly decides that it wants to lean towards the light, and you'll have a lot of light side users, and then it realizes balance needs to be created, so the rise of the dark side will happen.
Right.
And it's almost as though the Force is playing everybody. You know, they're all kind of puppets led by the Force, and the Force has this will of its own.
Yeah, like it's nothing's predetermined, etched in stone, but it heavily pushes and suggests and it influences things to go absolutely left or right, or, you know, light or dark.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm gathering. And I'm hearing lots of theories about where the Force comes from, and, you know, people like Palpatine searching looking for the outer regions and things like that. And there's kind of there could be a lot to happen with the Force in canon yet, and maybe that will go some way to explaining some of it.
Mm. Right. So to get back to the original question, is Rob Wade, final answer. Do you can you make any sense of this? Like, is there is it have to be balanced in the end, or is there a continuous battle to have it balanced?
I think the problem we've got is we're looking at a relatively small section of the galactic history that kind of surrounds the Star Wars universe, because we know, I mean, obviously a lot of it's been decanonized and made into legends and stuff, but you know, the original connected materials kind of took you back 4,000 or 5,000 years before the events of A New Hope. And then you learned that there was all this kind of back and forth and rise and falls and dark side on top, light side on top for a long time. You know, they'd spend endless amounts of time kind of shifting and changing. So I think that the fact that we're looking at this kind of, 50, 60 year period of saga movies, we probably don't have the full, you know, we don't have enough data to kind of compute that stuff. So, you know, I think maybe what we might find in episode 8, we might learn that there's more, you know, we might learn a bit of the history much further back than the prequels. We might learn much of the introductions of the Force and the origins of the Force. And I think, Dan, you're absolutely right. I think that stuff is to come. And I think it will be explored in Saga, because I kind of see it. I don't know how, Dan, have you seen the Harry Potter movies?
I've been through them once.
So you'll know the bit I'm talking about. So in one of the, I think it's the first part seven, first part of number seven, which the forgettable one. There's a little sequence that's kind of played out in animation that's almost like a Tim Burton papercraft thing about the three brothers and the Elder Wand and the invisibility cloak and the Stone of Resurrection and stuff. I can almost see something similar occurring in episode 8 or episode 9 that kind of gives us a bit of a truncated history of the known origins of the Force and how people have understood it and how people have worked within it over those thousands of years. Because I think this 60 year period we've got is nowhere near enough to really understand how drastic a shift this is in the grand scheme of things.
Well, yeah, we are literally looking at one family, and even all the extra players, like C-3PO happens to be made by one of the people from this family. Like everything, this one R2 has been owned by everybody in this family. You know, Han Solo, oh, here's this new guy. He marries into the family. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, everybody's a little bit tight. It's all a little bit tidy, isn't it? All the threads are kind of connected together in Saga. You know, the one guy who meets the main cast who isn't part of the family already is going to become one by the end of, you know, by the time Force Awakens rolls around. It's all a bit tidy.
Well, for my kind of final answer on that, Dan, I think it's almost like if you got two glasses of water and you're trying to make them completely even, and you're like, oh, I'm going to pour some in the other one. Oh, I poured too much. Then you got to pour a little bit back. And it's almost like this is what we're getting through the saga. We're getting this through movies, like, oh, too dark. No, too light. Too dark. Too light. Like, it's like trying to find the perfect toast in the morning. It just doesn't seem to be happening for them.
Somebody adjusting a really large portrait frame, just left a bit, right a bit, left a bit.
Exactly. And yeah, and you have entire fandom going, no, left a bit. And then Lucasfilm going, okay, no, too far, too far. So
maybe that's what Luke, maybe that's what he's gone off to study and learn about and why he's exiled himself. He wants to learn about this balance and how he can really, truly achieve it in the end.
Yeah, because it may be. I mean, he's only seen obviously the aftermath of the first time the Jedi have fallen, but he's got to be thinking by the time Episode 7 rolls around, why does this keep failing? What are we doing wrong? So maybe I think you're probably right. Yeah.
At the end of Return of the Jedi, Anakin kind of did fulfill the prophecy in the end.
Yeah,
but then of course the Force is unbalanced again.
And indeed.
For the next 30 years until the First Order rises up.
Again, and that's from a certain point of view. Like, if you're a light side user, you're like, oh, the Sith are dead. Finally, we have balance in our life. No. You know what I mean, it's like, you know, and if you're the Sith, you're going, oh, no, this is horrible. We had balance when the Jedi were gone. You know, like, we had them at arm's length. Like, So, but either way, I think it's safe to say we are being entertained. Now to bring in the kind of some of this new canon that's coming out, you think the waters are getting a little too muddied with this gray, with the light, with the, you know, like you said, maybe this is where Luke's heading, like realizing, you know, well, maybe I can't be a Democrat, I can't be a Republican, I got to find somewhere down the middle here, you know.
It certainly explains the title to me, the Last Jedi,
right?
Because if it's singular or plural, but these are really the Last Jedi, you know, this, what's the reason behind that? Is Luke really trying to extinguish that light and also eradicate the dark at the same time? Mm-hmm. It kind of does explain it to me, but of course we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm glad we got to pass that around our small table this evening. Now, of course, in a typical Star Wars Commonwealth fashion, I put the word out saying, hey, I'm a moron and I messed up the time zones. And of course, me being ignorant to it is the Mother's Day in the UK. So, well, my mother is from the UK, so maybe that kind of, no? I'm getting puzzled looks on Skype. They're like, no, Rob, you're clearly Canadian.
No. Yeah, I think tomorrow you might get an annoyed message like, where was my Mother's Day? You know, maybe the time zones have thrown you off, but I think that's as far as you're going to get.
No, my mother actually lives in my time zone, and I was FaceTiming, as they say today, and
oh, okay.
I said,
fair enough.
Do you want a happy Mother's Day now or in May when we have the Canadian one? You can't have both.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, do you want to jump on this round table tonight with these guys?
Almost.
He's always welcome.
Yes, but I was getting at in typical Star Wars Commonwealth fashion, I put the word out that, hey, we might need a couple extra questions here tonight. And Ash, being who she is, she sent one in. She asked, do you think it's important that Star Wars moves on to new characters, or do you think the old characters should get most of the attention? Now, I'm assuming, obviously, that's with anything new coming out now with Saga movies. I mean, I know standalones are, they got their own thing going on. But, you know, like let's just say Saga movies. And do you think we should get an overdose on Luke? Or do you really want to see more Rey, Finn, Poe, Kylo? Dan, what do you think?
For me personally, there wasn't quite enough of Luke in The Force Awakens. I thought they could have put a little bit more of Luke in there, but I completely understand why they've done what they've done with that film. I'm a huge fan of the original trilogy, so you know I'm keen to see as much of the old characters as possible. But again, I can totally understand why they're introducing new characters. They're getting new fans on board, and you know I'm enjoying the new characters as well. So. For me personally, you know, I like to see as much of the old characters as possible, but you know, I'm enjoying the new ones as well. So, overall, I think they're doing the right thing.
Again, a nice balance in what they're doing. Rob Wade, I'm sure you've been over this a few times. So, what do you think? What's your definitive answer?
I'm absolutely with Dan. I think it's, you know, it would have been nice to see a bit more Luke in Episode 7. And I think the original characters, I think it's very important that they anchored the film in those new characters. I think what we should see over the course of the next movies is a gradual shift away from those established characters and to kind of have new characters take, maybe not swap like for like with some of these roles, but they should certainly live in those spaces. So, you know, we've got kind of, we had an ace pilot in Wedge Antilles. We've got one in Poe Dameron. That's a bit of an easier swap. Who would take, I mean, I feel horrible saying it, obviously, with the last couple of months, but who would kind of occupy Leia's space in that new character block is kind of still to be determined. I've heard rumors that Poe Dameron might have a role in that, but it doesn't quite wash for me with his character in Episode 7 for him to be a diplomat and a politician. He seems more like a action kind of get things done type guy. He doesn't seem to me like a, you know, like a bureaucrat or a politician of any kind.
Right.
So that kind of doesn't quite wash with me. I think so kind of, you know, to bring my long-winded methodology round to a kind of soundbitey conclusion, I think they absolutely should introduce, they should gradually phase out the old characters, but I wouldn't want to see it happen any quicker than, I mean, by the end of Episode 9, people should be in place for those roles. And if they go ahead with an Episode 10 that follows in a direct saga continuity, then you would start to see them occupy those roles. And maybe you might get little cameos from the old cast, but it wouldn't be, they wouldn't be anchored to the story in any way. They would just be sort of fan service, a bit like the Rebel stuff in Rogue One.
Yeah. See, I think my opinion's slightly skewed now with the loss of Carrie Fisher. And I know we keep apologizing every time we bring her name up and saying, well, they, like, and I've said this on a roundtable before, it's a complete knee-jerk reaction. When everybody lost Carrie, the first thing everybody thought of was like, oh my God, my precious saga. You mean, it sounds horrible.
Expressed, that's kind of a glib way of putting it, but I think that is a reasonable reaction, is to wonder about that stuff.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any harm in that.
It's like if you lose anybody close to you, you lose your dog passed away. It's like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Like, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as far as Carrie's, like, now it's like, oh, now that she's gone, and I know episode 8 is in the books and they have everything they need, it's just, if they know, you know, of course you'll never know that was coming, but now it just seems like opportunity lost, where it's like, we could have had more Luke or more Han and Leia, or maybe have Han leave us in episode 8. And then we can have the three of them back together for one more thing. And, like, you know, it's complete regret. Like, oh, what could have been? But maybe on the other hand, here's the cards we have. Here's the hand we have to play. And it's going to move forward as such. You know what I mean? So with Han obviously leaving the saga, or I hope he doesn't come back as a Force ghost. I hope, you know, like... In my opinion, that's enough of that. Like, no, like, for, as far as Han is concerned, you know, Qui-Gon, he can make a cameo, but as far
flashbacks or forcebacks or in some way or another, I heard about him signing on for all three movies in the episode 7 to 9.
Right.
So I heard about him signing on. I also heard that. Felicity Jones signed on for 3 movies as well.
Yes.
So clearly that's probably not going to happen. So,
yeah. That I don't mind. I just don't want, you mean, if the Force is this be all and end all in the saga movies, and then you have Han walk in and looking around like, oh, wait, oh, it's the Force ghost room. Is this like, it's Force Skype? Hey guys, hey, I'm on the other side.
Is this a private party or can anybody join?
Yeah. Hey, it's me.
Yeah.
You know, so okay, I'm rambling, but back to the point. I think yes, the loss of Carrie kind of forces the hand, but maybe, like you said, Rob, Luke in the background, kind of like the Obi-Wan character in the original trilogy, always there, can be there as for, you mean, you know, Rey, you mean, go to Dagobah, you mean, or whatever he's got to say or whatever, you mean, he can still be there if they're going to phase him out, but. You know, I'm okay with it. Like, I love the OT and I grew up with them, but I like Force Awakens. I like what they did. I know a lot of people hated, oh, it was too much like the other movies, but I think considering what they had to deal with, I think it was great. Like, I think there's just enough of the old, there's just enough of the new, and I like where they're going. And you know, how many hours of our week is spent listening to podcasts and reading theories and clickbaits for this movie? Like, no other movie in my entire life has ever been like that, except for the next Star Wars movie, whatever that is and whatever that is coming up.
Mm. If they ever announced a sequel to Event Horizon, maybe I'd be, you know, intrigued enough to look into it in depth. But maybe. Yeah, Star Wars is otherwise Star Wars is the only one.
Yeah, exactly. So I like it. I think I enjoy where they're going. I'm okay with them moving on. And I mean, I was kind of okay. I realized that was going to be inevitability. You know, I'm a few years younger than the main cast anyway. So it's like, well, great. Like, I hope I outlive them. I'm 20 years their junior. Like,
Yeah.
I hope they still make Star Wars, and maybe there'll be something after they're not with us. So.
Sorry, just something else on the new characters.
Yeah, of course.
If you consider the mystery around Rey and her heritage and what part she's going to play in the new saga, and if you consider you know, all the theories that are going around, all the speculation, all the videos, people are invested in this character, and you know, I'm one of them as well.
Yeah.
I love the new characters. I think they've done a great job with them. I love the old characters as well, and you know, like you say, Rob, I think they have got the balance. They have got the balance right, and hopefully they'll pass the baton on in a good way.
Yeah, I think I don't see any. I know there's a lot of criticism, but considering what the hand they were dealt, like I'm really loving what we got. You know.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, my main criticism of The Force Awakens, I think, will be addressed in future films, which is the speed at which Rey becomes so powerful. But I think we're going to find out later on that's, you know, there's a good reason for that, and I'm totally fine with that if that's the case.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. Well, there we go. Oh, thank you, Ash. We appreciate that. And Kyle from Tumbling Saber, we all know.
Ah.
Yes. He stepped up to the plate as well, and he offered a question. He ran a poll on this there some time ago, but he just wanted to pass it around the round table and see what you guys think. As Star Wars moves forward, which era would you like the future Star Wars movies to explore? Like the Republic, early history, far into the future, immediate future, fill in the blank movies. Like, and this could be, obviously, this is including, obviously not Saga, but the standalones. Rob Wade, what do you think? Anything you're hoping for?
Yeah, there is one. I would like to see a proper Darth Bane movie.
Yes.
Because they cut out a big swathe of his canon, and the stuff they've still got is fine. But if they do anything that's a tenth as good as what they did in the Legends trilogy, then it will be an amazing, amazing movie.
Oh,
so that would be something I'd like to see.
Dan, is there something some piece of the puzzle you're missing that you want Return to Legends or Return to Legends, Return to Canon? Or something you want to see on the screen?
This is probably quite a popular one, but I just want to see what Luke's been up to in the time between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. I'm guessing they're going to address some of that in the next film, in The Last Jedi, whether it be by force backs or through discussion. But obviously, I'm not sure how they'd ever be able to do it, but... whether it be by recasting or whatever other methods, but I would love to fill in those gaps and know what Luke was up to, the training of the Jedi and obviously the downfall of the Academy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I could see the old Republic stuff. I could see that being on an even live action television show.
That'd be cool.
Something that can be explored where they can dig deep into the characters. Maybe not so much animated because with the characters from Legends, that they can get a little, maybe a Netflix type thing where they can get really, you know, not obviously X-rated, but where they can really get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
You know, where they can just tell the story like they're supposed to and not worry about, too much, the violence or stuff like that. But yeah. Rob Wade, I have to agree with you. Bane, I've read the original, the trilogy, the Bane books, and
good series. It's
fantastic.
A good series. Have you heard the audiobook version?
Yes, yes.
Oh, with the Jonathan Davis voiceover. It's just he does. There's a couple of them who are really good at different things. Mark Thompson does an amazing kind of New Republic era because he does some really good impressions of a lot of the existing kind of the remaining canon characters. But Jonathan Davis, anything to do with the dark side or any dark side characters, Jonathan Davis is the man for that stuff. Yeah. He just has a fantastic, dark, like gravelly voice that just works so well. In the Bane trilogy, it's so well executed; it's unreal.
For me, that Darth Plagueis Legends book.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And again, the audiobook too is just fantastic. It's the only problem with that. It weaves a ton into the early prequels, into Phantom Menace. And I think they're going to, they might want to, not that they're staying away from the prequels, but I think they might want to, let's put out a political thriller. Everybody would just like, no. Like there'd be so much backlash from it.
There is a way to approach that stuff, I think, that could be done, but I think it would be a hard sell.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody wants that political intrigue and everything, but Plagueis, I'd love to hear more. If Plagueis is... Darth Sidious master, as they say in Legends.
He definitely is. That's still considered canon.
Is it?
I think that's in the Revenge of the Sith novelization. He mentions it by name.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's definitely still established canon, which is, you know, what they don't establish is whether or not the whole thing about being able to prolong life and create life is bunk. They don't actually, I don't recall them ever saying whether or not that's actually done.
Right.
If it is, I think Palpatine might have said that, you know, Selfish Bugger kept it to himself.
Yeah.
So not very good at it, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's you're exactly right with, obviously, like what was the line? He could save everybody he knows except for himself, Plagueis. Mm.
Yeah.
So.
But not himself.
No. Well, they're at.
Oh, no, he's at the opera, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. Squid opera or whatever they're watching.
Yeah. Just a giant, like water, like liquid ball. With yes. people just jumping in and out of it. It's the weirdest Cirque du Soleil I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's you mean. It's
I mean, don't get me wrong. If it came to London, I'd watch it, but...
No, of course, yeah. Where would you watch? Was that at the O2, or...?
Yeah, I think you'd have to... I think the only place big enough, isn't it?
I don't know.
For a big liquid ball?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we got a little bit of time left here. Dan, do you have anything else you wanted to discuss or... swing around the table? Not to put you on the spot.
I'm quite keen for an Obi-Wan film as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good.
Don't know if either of you saw the there was a fan trailer that came out a few months back.
Yeah, wasn't it using part of a movie where he was playing Jesus or something like that?
Yeah, that's right.
It was good.
It's a fantastic, obviously fan trailer, but it was fantastic.
Yeah.
and the reveal at the end of this trailer, should I spoil a fan
trailer? It's a fan trailer. Sure. Yeah, I think you're okay.
the reveal of the Qui-Gon Force ghost, it sent shivers down my spine when I saw that for the first time. Obviously, the Force Awakens music backing kind of helped that as well.
Yeah. But
no, that's something that I really like to see. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that's come out in Rebels recently. I've not seen any of the Rebels episodes, but I've heard they've been back on Tatooine and Obi-Wan's made an appearance. So, maybe some continuation of that story in live action would be great as well.
Cool, yeah. I mean, there's a big space to play, and he's on there for, what, 18 years? Something like that?
Yeah.
So there's a fair old whack of time that he can be, you know, he can be involved with. And actually, then it doesn't matter who you cast as Luke, right? Because you're casting him pre-A New Hope. So in the same way they've done with Alden, they can choose an actor who sort of looks a bit like him as a young version, and then... You know, you could have a very small shot of him, like a little cameo somewhere.
So not to have another young Anakin Skywalker on your hands, maybe.
Oh, no. I saw a fantastic picture on the subject the other day of Hayden Christensen next to 20-year-old Jake Lloyd. And it was, this is what Anakin was supposed to look like age 20. And this is what he ended up looking like. And it's so, so far removed.
Oh, no. Poor Jake Lloyd.
Like, I feel so bad for him. He seems to have had a horrible, horrible time since episode one. He's, you know, you watch interviews with him, you just seem so, you know, bitter. But when you hear why, you sort of get it. You just feel bad.
Well, yeah, it would be like, because he's like, he was just a kid. He had no idea what Star Wars meant to the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that'd be like... me being a kid in the 70s and like, oh, you're going to be the chosen one in the next Star Trek movie. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then everybody's like, oh, our beloved Star Trek. And who's this stupid twit?
Or it's like if there was a Jerry Maguire trilogy, right? And the little kid with glasses, that Jonathan Lipnicki or whatever his name is, was just getting told to kill himself. It's awful. Like, I don't understand why people think that because it's a film you really like, that makes that sort of thing okay. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's not okay. It's horrible. Like, and we're no strangers to Twitter comments.
Being told to kill myself, yeah. Just having a look, seeing how long it's been.
I meant to delete that too. Sorry, Rob.
6 days, I think. 5 days. 5 days without being told to kill myself on Twitter. So that's
well. You should use. I know you do have a blackboard behind you. You should actually write down how many days without a Twitter incident.
Yeah, Jen doesn't really care. So it's a bit of a, to put it in there, she's just like, what is this? You know, and I don't need her angry at me. She can get angry at me for a number of perfectly legitimate reasons. That seems like a one that I could spare myself.
Right. We'll jump off the Twitter hate. I have one more thing I wouldn't mind popping in the show real quick.
Oh, okay.
The Twin Suns. Now, I know, Dan, you said you're not a Rebels fan.
I've seen the first six episodes, okay. So I'm way behind.
Okay, and, well...
We cancelled Sky, and I lost Disney XD, and I've not seen any since then, so...
Right. Mm. Well, recently, I know, Rob, you've caught up.
Yeah, I caught up in the weirdest way. There was a YouTube link that was still there, so I just...
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it. It's usually those things are taken down within 5 minutes of being up. But it was there for a good day and a half.
Yep.
Well, so I finally had a chance to catch up. I'd feel guilty about that sort of thing, but I have paid for the season pass up front. So I think in this case, they've had my money anyway.
Yep.
And I'm still going to get a copy of Twin Suns that's mine to keep in a couple of weeks. So
right.
I felt less guilt than usual about that sort of thing.
Well, they had a, okay, so you know, and sorry, Dan, like this is going to be really old news by the time goes out on Talk Star Wars proper. I know everybody in the VIP room on Facebook know all about Twin Suns.
There was a big thread.
There was a big thread, yes.
The only thing that was more popular was my live stream.
Yeah, exactly. I should explain, us here in North America, we get a Rebels episode and it's not aired in the UK until, what, 2 weeks after us?
So to give you an idea, I can tell you how far we've got. I know we just had Double Agent Droid, have just dropped.
Okay, yeah, so you are right. Exactly 2 weeks behind then.
Yeah, like I think 3 weeks at a push.
Okay.
I think two weeks sounds right, but maybe three. But it's, you know, it's annoying because it's bad enough. I watch Game of Thrones and it's bad enough having to watch what I'm doing for a day between the US and the UK.
Yep.
2-3 weeks is ridiculous.
I get the same with Walking Dead.
I can believe it, mate. Yeah.
Avoid Twitter the day before.
Yeah. I'm so far behind on Walking Dead that if I'm spoiled at this point, it's kind of my own fault.
Well, how about we spoil everybody? Actually, I have the season finale of Rebels on my DVR. How about we just play it over the show? Here we go, everybody.
Hopefully, by the time this goes live, I'd have seen it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you will. But, Okay, let me backtrack to my original thought. Dan, have you ever watched the Clone Wars animated series?
I know of it. I've heard a lot about it.
But right.
Again, unfortunately, I've not seen that.
Well, there is a voice actor, James Arnold Taylor, who is famous for doing Obi-Wan. And he actually, he took a lot of pride in actually some of the new voices he got to create, like Flo Koon. There's a few other ones. And Obi-Wan Kenobi makes an appearance in Twin Suns. And it's not James Arnold Taylor.
I know who it is.
You know who it is?
Yes.
Anthony. The guy is an absolute sorcerer. He is nothing short of phenomenal.
Yeah. And I was, I'm being a big Clone Wars fan, I was like, and I'm a fan of James Arnold Taylor, like a lot of his work. And I was like, I'm hearing stuff like when we saw the previews that, look at Obi-Wan's back on animated on Disney XD. And it's like, and James Arnold Taylor was like, I never got the call. So we're like,
man.
Yeah. So you can imagine everybody's going, oh no. And then now that we've finally seen the episode, Dan, do yourself a favor. Watch this Twin Suns. Like you can actually watch it outside of not knowing anything about the Rebels.
Just as a standalone.
It's, And Steven Stanton voicing Obi-Wan Kenobi was unbelievable. Like I was like, I get it. It's his Alec Guinness is unbelievable.
Yeah. He's, when I heard the trailer for Twin Suns, when it was the sort of, would have been the mid-season, season three trailer. I honestly thought that it was cut together Alec Guinness lines because it was so close to what he was doing. And then when he talked on the actual episode, I was like, he is some kind of wizard. And I've told him this on Twitter. He hasn't come back to me yet.
No.
He's probably too busy flawlessly imitating me for my inevitable replacement when Mark gets the call from Steven Stanton. He's like, Rob who?
Yeah, it was, and again, I'm not saying, all is forgiven. Like, They did do a nice bit. They had a hologram with a younger, more of the age of the Obi-Wan actor, Ewan McGregor. And James Arnold Taylor's voice was on the hologram. And then when we see Obi-Wan at the age of Alec Guinness, we got the new voice actor. And it's just, wow. Like, unreal.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. Fantastic. And again, if you do get a chance, go just watch it on its own. You won't be disappointed.
Steve Stanton was also the voice of Admiral Raddus in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Which, so he's a very talented, voice actor.
Superb.
Yep. So, there's another thing that came out just a couple of days ago on iTunes. I know it's not, by the time this airs, obviously everybody will have the Blu-ray, but Rogue One is on iTunes right now.
Ah, yes, in North America and Canada, right?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's not your fault. I think we have to wait till April the 10th.
Oh, no.
Something like that. So we're a couple of weeks behind generally, I think.
Well, let me just pull it up on that on my iPad now, too. Here we go. We'll sit around the round table and watch Rogue One. Yeah,
Screenshot. Come on.
We get the films a day earlier in the cinema, don't we?
You do, that's actually worse. Because I remember going all over the our VIP group and all over Facebook saying, please, UK friends, don't say a word. Like,
do it.
Having a one television episode, not series, but episode spoiled is one thing.
Yep.
But having a saga movie spoiled would be like, oh my God, laid it.
Yeah. If you just imagine how much. See, I've friends who genuinely believe that spoilers don't impact on people's enjoyment of movies, and I can only assume that they've got into this mindset where once they understand what's happened, it for them it's not a spoiler anymore because there's no other reason. You know, there's so many movies that are ruined, or the effect is lessened on a particular reveal by having it known ahead of seeing the movie. You know, and some of those lose completely. You know, they lose completely the reveal the second time around, but you can obviously appreciate it from different points of view. But I can't do it to people.
No.
You know, for me, it's a huge deal to be able to kind of appreciate it from a fresh take.
Yes.
Now, for me, that's a really important thing.
Well, that's why we go on opening night, right? Like, that's what I do anyway. Like, I'm not a huge crowd guy. I prefer to go on a Monday afternoon matinee, even pay a little, even though it's not the cheap day. It's just, like, I just sit in a theater by myself if I have to. I don't want anything spoiled. I didn't, especially with The Force Awakens, I didn't want that Luke, I'm your father moment to be spoiled for me if there was going to be one. I wanted to hit me with everything it could. You mean, I didn't want to know anything, especially when you're watching the movie, in the back of your head, you're going, you mean, like, if you knew Han was going to die before Force Awakens, you'd be like, okay, when's he going to die? Oh, obviously he's going to die here. And there he goes. And now he's dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was almost ruined for me in the concession lineup, too. Opening night, first ticket. I had to watch it in IMAX 3D. Holy crap, this is hard on the eyes. At an odd angle, not front row center, so I wouldn't get it spoiled. And I'm in the concession, and I hear some guy behind me, oh, did you hear some people already saw this movie in Australia? And they said Han, and I literally covered my ears like a kid going, nah, 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 nah. Like, I just... And then
but
starting the movie, I was like, I had this Han thing chewing at the back of my head. I was able to avoid hearing it, but it was there, you know.
And even the knowledge that something's coming regarding Han is keeping you on tenterhooks for the whole movie now.
And I'm not a violent person.
Mm.
You know, Canadians, we try to be polite. But
well, if you guys are trying, then you know.
Try harder.
I'd hate to know what happens if you're really trying.
God. Yeah, exactly.
You really put the effort in. You could outpolite the entire world.
But we shovel a lot of snow, so we get a lot of upper body strength. So you don't want to turn around and slap somebody.
Yeah.
Everybody's wearing flannel and skidoo boots, and it gets messy. It's horrible. So anyway, I think we actually went on a proper tangent there, and that's an excellent way to end episode 4 of the roundtable. Again, I apologize. This having a head full of contact C and the time changes and the Mother's Days, and I'm just not due to this international bromance we're all having over Star Wars.
The Commonwealth is a global beast, and thus, you know, it comes with extra complications that most places don't have to worry about.
It does. It's almost like having it's like having the Star Wars girlfriend, and you get times wrong, and the girlfriend comes home when the other girlfriend hasn't left yet.
Oh wow! Okay, that went to a different place than I was expecting.
Of course,
so you just missed the date. I didn't realize you were. You know.
And no. I am happily married. I am joking.
Yeah. Is that Star Trek, that whore?
When your Star Trek girlfriend comes over and the Star Wars one hasn't left yet because you didn't turn your box head.
Battlestar's in the wardrobe, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Katie Sackhoff posters hidden in the closet. And oh, boy, I think I've said too much. Anyway, Dan Solo, I'm sorry we didn't have the huge table here, but thank you so much. You did an awesome job, and I really appreciate putting a face to the name, and you're welcome back here anytime. We'll get a nice big table for you. Maybe we'll do a year-end thing with just Veeps.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored to be part of this ragtag band this month. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Do you have anything you would like to promote, or anything you have, anything of your own you want mentioned?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Star Wars Sucker. The name's quite apt, really, because I'm basically a sucker for any Star Wars figures or merch. And what I do is I document my collection on my Twitter, so you can follow that and see any updates I've got. That's pretty much the place to contact me. I am considering doing some YouTube videos in the future of my Star Wars collection and anything that I pick up, or maybe some interesting items. So I will tweet out about that when it becomes available.
Awesome. Well, do us a favor and just attach whatever photos you put out, attach our names, our Twitter handles to it, so we can take a look. Because we'd love to see. We're just, you know, Rob and I, we're huge fans of everything and anything Star Wars. And it's so awesome when we see, it's almost really, I'm living vicariously. It's like, oh, you got that figure. Oh,
you've got room for those things. I'm so jealous.
Oh my God. All right. And Rob Wade, if anybody hasn't heard already, what do you do on the internet?
I'm in this weird place where I'm trying to be the hardest working guy that nobody's ever heard of. But if I successfully do it, then, you know, if I get heard of, then I can no longer make that claim. So I'm in a weird place. But I mean, if you wish to follow me on the social medias, I'm on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision. And you can also find a blog that I run, emotionally14.com, which is basically everything I'm interested in that's not Star Wars.
Awesome. And
it should be a short list, right? But there's quite a lot of it.
No, and also you have your other Crazy Train podcast.
Yeah, so that's part of the Emotionally 14 podcast family network. Means, you know, a lot more work for me, frankly.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's all part of the stuff I do for Emotionally 14. I also do obviously the TSW toy box, which, funnily enough, just before we came on to record this, I just finished recording with Jeremy and Mark. So that will be, as soon as I get it edited, that will be going out to the VIPs like yourself, Dan, and Mr. Cass as well. And then obviously it will find its way to the good folks. You know, I say good folks, not great folks, because it's not VIPs. But, you know, the good folks of Talk Star Wars fandom are devoted and wonderful listeners. Will also get it, obviously, at some point in April. So once I've had a chance, I'm having some fun with the intro. So hopefully people will enjoy it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, myself, I don't know if you've heard, I don't know if Mark has told you, we put out this, TSW comics.
Never heard of it.
You've never heard of it, eh? Mark's been spreading the word a little bit, and, that's a lot of fun. I do, Star Wars comic book reviews on the talkstarwars.co.uk site. And currently I'm following all the Dr. Apra and the Darth Maul. Whatever issue you're at the time, whenever you're listening to this, there should be a review corresponding.
Oh, yeah, I do know this podcast. You crash some jerk off's live stream to plug it the other day?
Yes, yeah. I found this guy, Rob Ugh. W, we'll call him. And
don't get me started on that guy. Ugh.
Yeah, and Mark and I were able to plug this this new TSW comic show. So that's so aside from the reviews I do, we're doing an actual comic book show. Mark and I, we're going to – I know our first one, episode one, we did episode zero just to introduce the concept. And when episode one comes out, we're going to be covering issue one of Darth Maul.
Nice.
So that's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, I got my non-PG weekly show that is not Star Wars, but it's the Roman Podding Cast. My buddy Roman and I, we have a lot of fun every week. We try to put together about a half hour, 40 minutes a week to – hopefully make you giggle on your commute to work or whatever you may be listening. Don't listen while traveling with the kids. We don't like those emails.
Yeah.
Not that it's horrible. It's just, you know, you talk differently to people of an age rather than around your children. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's a good time. And of course, you can get a hold of me at RobertMMcast on the Twitters. And next episode, you should have a whole lot of material from the Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. Big meetup. I know the Rogue Squadron podcast, Skyhoppers podcast, Mark from Talk Star Wars, and myself, we're heading down. And if we recognize each other, I'll be the Canadian. I don't know. I know we look a lot like Americans.
Yeah.
We just have I'll wear my maple syrup cologne and hopefully I'll stick out and everybody will know who I am.
Is that Canadian bacon?
Is that Canadian bacon? Oh, that guy that apologized for passing by you for the 18th. Oh, excuse me. I'll be at the convention. Excuse me. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry. Oh, sorry. You're just trying to get to the good beer here. I'm sorry. Sorry. That'll be me. And again, I apologize for the time zones and the Mother's Day and my crashing through this there with a head cold, but these guys have been awesome, Dan and Rob. I appreciate it, really carrying the load this week, so I appreciate it. So until next time, we'll see you on episode 5 from Orlando. Later.